Training camp is here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. It is so good to be back with the sage of Tampa Bay sports. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee D. Kemper is here. The man beast intern, Zach Seifter, is pumped and ready for his first training camp. And Ira, it is good to see you after hearing your rousing endorsement there for Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Sage, I've got some news for you, but how are you?
I'm doing great. We're one day away from training camp, 3 days away from the pads going on. The bleachers are back, gentlemen. The fans are coming out in hordes tomorrow. And Jameis Winston says, bring it on. When we do a good play, they want to hear it because, as Steve mentioned and dwells on, the music has stopped around One Buck Place. It's all going to be about fan enthusiasm.
All right, Ira, speaking of fan enthusiasm, now I know training camp is here, and we're at One Buck back in our bugged room here, room number two today, the NFL Network folks use. But, Ira, I have great news for everybody. We touched on this a couple of weeks ago that you will be at Buffalo Wild Wings every single road game this year, minus the second preseason game that nobody cares about.
How is that good news for me? I was hoping to go to New Orleans again. I had a blast over there.
Instead, you will be at Buffalo Wild Wings. The schedule, the full schedule, we have it. I'm not going to read the whole schedule off today. But, Ira, it is very exciting. So, August 9th, preseason game. Anybody can put it on their calendar now. The Sage will be out in Wesley Chapel, right there, State Road 56, just east of 75, at Buffalo Wild Wings, Bucks, Pittsburgh. You'll be able to watch with the Sage. You can watch him take notes. You can buy him stuff.
Very central location, right, easily attained from Tampa, right up 75.
Super easy, and Sage is going to have some giveaways. I've confirmed that Mr. Zach will be out there babysitting you,
Ira. He's not going to monitor my caloric intake, is he?
Well, that's funny. That's the first thing Zach asked me. Should I count the wings and Ira's calorie count? I said, no, it's not free, so Ira will...
I just got back from a week in Texas, and you know what? You don't go to Texas and eat alfalfa sprouts, Zach. So even though I was on a diet, I had the brisket, the ribs, two great Mexican meals. I come back, I hop on a scale, I'm up a pound. I'm very happy with that. We'll see what happens at Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's not too shabby.
That's not too shabby.
And for the folks wondering, the opener of the road opener, shall we say, the Gerald McCoy game, Thursday Night Football, Sage will be out in Riverview. He'll be out in Riverview there, so our friends to the east will be able to hang out with the Sage.
That's a dinner game.
And Ira's always going to be out there about an hour early, eating, glad handing with the folks, giving away some stuff. So very excited, and we'll hear more about that coming up. All right, Ira, look, we're here. Lee's been observing. We've all been doing our thing. And I'm just going to throw this out at you because we got to talk to Devin White and Bruce Arians today and Jameis. I'm going to go a little backwards with you, Ira, with a little bit of a curveball. I found it kind of interesting that Bruce Arians said that he had another physical before starting coaching here. So he came back. He was the same weight, just like you.
He said, loved being the same weight. Loved it.
He kind of broke his diet, but came back the same weight, which you were raving about to us the other day. But Arians had another physical, too, in 9 months, 8 months, 7 months, actually. What do you make of that?
The G-boys are on the case, baby. They want him, taking that physical. Speaking of physicals, Zach, I'm going to be taking my yearly physical next month, which includes, running on that darn machine. And I'm all hooked up. Then, when they get me up to about 150, blood pressure, then they zap me with some kind of little liquid, and they measure that. But it's all to keep me running, keep me smooth over there. Arians is very happy. His golf game's in good shape. The first question I asked him. And you know what, Lee? He seemed pretty darn enthusiastic for a 66-year-old coach who's already done a lot in this league. He can't wait for this challenge. And, Lee, it's a heck of a challenge.
I didn't think he was excited at all. Well, he sure masked it if he was.
He's not Jameis Winston excited.
Yeah, he was excited. He was pumped. He looked like he wanted to play the Niners this afternoon.
I've never seen a guy who wants to compete more than Jameis Winston.
And like you said, it's genuine. You can tell someone's faking it.
It is genuine. It is genuine. Zach, you wish some of the Gator quarterbacks would come out with that kind of enthusiasm. Yeah.
But you know what? You know what the contrast was? And I don't give a damn about Devin White's horse. Okay? I'm sorry he lost a pet. That's what it was.
Well, we spent 10 minutes on it.
I don't give a damn about it. I didn't ask anything. But before today, I thought his demeanor was very similar to Jameis's. Like, he's like, dude can't wait to get on the field. He's happy as can be. I mean, just loves the game. That kind of enthusiasm. Today he was glum. Just like, I'm here.
Composed. Composed.
Very composed. Composed. Sullen would be a word I would use.
Whoa, sullen. Steve, is that your reaction?
I mean, I just,
that's
I was
a tough word.
You know what? It was almost this kind of contrast. Not quite, but almost. A couple years ago, Jameis came out again. It was effusive Jameis, over the top Jameis. Let's get on the field. Let's start getting the pads on. They bring Gerald McCoy up. Oh, woe is me. And he's like slumped over the podium. And oh, gee, I talked to people and they told me I got to change my game. And it's like, it was like night and day difference between the two. It was almost like that today. Not quite, but almost.
Steve, you know what sullen is? The definition of sullen is when Rachel Watson refused to sign her autograph on the cheerleader calendar to DeKemper. And DeKemper walked away. Now, that was sullen.
You know, as I've said many times, we don't prepare for this podcast. I'm the only one who comes with written notes. And on my sheet of paper, and which I thought we would get to much later, but it really ties to all together nicely, was, I'll have a little note here, horse questioning. Now, I thought the line of horse questioning about his pet was really a little bit wacky.
Daisy May, yeah.
Bottom line is, Rick Stroud opened up the questioning to Devin White about his horse. Now, and I'm going to give Devin White a pass on being sullen if you're going to ask the guy about his dead pet that's recent and he was very close with. Oh, yeah, he might be down for the rest of the news conference when you're conjuring up the images of the last minute.
I thought he was very mature. I thought he came across as very mature.
Agree.
Like Lee said, not as bubbly as he has been, in the rookie minicamp. I understand that. But, Steve, he's fully embracing his leadership role. He says he's a guy who's always made plays. I like that kind of confidence. He's got that dot on his helmet, which he says he doesn't even know what that was about when they put it on there. I guess what I'm saying, Lee, is he looks like a guy who can handle these kind of responsibilities as a rookie. It's a tall order, but he looks like he's got the demeanor to handle it.
See, maybe this is my perception. Before, I thought the same thing. Today, his body language just came across, and the way he spoke, he came across like, oh, crap. You know, it just was like,
well,
you know, practice is starting. This sucks.
That could be a residue from the pet.
That's what I'm thinking.
It could be.
But to Steve's point, he was like that moments before the opening question. I mean, remember they had to almost, I think it was Nelson being the vice president of media relations. No one said anything, and finally he said, questions are open, you know, and he was like, you know, just I used the word sullen again. That's
Steve, I want to throw something out to you, Mr. Isbitz.
Ira, nobody cares what I have to say.
Well, hold on. Now, I'm going to pontificate.
That's what people want to hear.
And I'm going to disagree. No matter what you say, I'll disagree. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in Winston's 15 minutes at that podium, at one point, didn't he say, kind of trumpeting what I've said many times, that it comes with the position, whether you like it or not, didn't he say something like, I got to win? Well,
I heard him ask you if you were finished with the question.
Well, he did say that, and I finally finished with it. It took me 2.5 minutes to
check
get the question
topic.
Out. Steve, didn't he say something about, like, ultimately, he's got to win games to sort of be considered a successful quarterback. I kind of like that admission. It took him 4 years to say it, but he finally said it.
I'm not sure it took him that long to say it. I mean, it's the obvious. It's
I think it was the question about throwing for 4,000 yards every year, and yet, you know, the results aren't very good.
It's obvious. I mean, he knows the pressure that's on him. He knows what could be coming if he doesn't deliver. I mean, everybody knows it. I don't know. It didn't impress me, Ira, but you're the sage.
Well, I'm just saying it's an acknowledgement that you can throw for 4,500 yards and 27 touchdowns and the team goes 6-10, and you didn't have a good season.
I heard Devin White say something like that. They asked him, what would you consider to be a successful season for you? He's like, I don't care about the personal achievements. It's about the team goals.
He did say that. He said the individual stuff will come along. Which is true,
yeah.
Lee. Good players from good teams make Pro Bowls, period, end story. Good players on lousy teams struggle to make Pro Bowls. Just ask Levante David.
Well, yeah, but then there's Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers.
You got to have the high profile. You got to be on the nationally televised games. It's a big help. It's a big, big help.
All right, Ira, I want to ask you about the high hot one. Now, I bring that up because Bruce Arians spoke about that. It was, I thought, a very telling line in the sand when it comes to the difference between this year's coaching staff and the guy who really matters, which is Jameis. Arians got up there and said that they're working on Jameis's technique and footwork.
I asked him whether the improvement would come from the neck up or technique. Yes.
And he spoke about Jameis and the high hot one, meaning that throw over the middle, that sizzling throw over the middle. And he made it clear that when you make that mistake, if it's sales or whatever it is, when you make that mistake, it's not mental. It's not a decision. It is strictly footwork, not getting your release where it needs to be. And it was obvious that's a he was very emphatic about that. What do you make of that? And maybe that's a fix that we haven't talked about.
Well, 2 points. One, Lee, when you throw a high ball over and you overthrow over the middle, that ball is intercepted.
Yeah.
Period. End story. That ball is intercepted. I also believe that at the end of that little answer to my question about mental and technique, Lee, I think he also said, in terms of trying to minimize the high over the overthrow over the middle, he said we're working on like the throw to second base. He said something about the throw to second base. Lee, you're an old baseball fan. The throw to second base is not a high, hard one that over the second baseman's head. It's, you know,
knee high.
So, yeah, it's knee high. So if you miss the guy over the middle in football, it's not nearly as bad as overthrowing him high. And,
yes.
And that's a big thing they're working on with Winston.
A very underrated quarterback coach. Very underrated with Bill Parcells. Very underrated. Wherever he went, he had good quarterback play. He would take guys that were washed up, and he did something with them, whether it be Drew Bledsoe with the Cowboys, whether it be Vinny Testaverde. Obviously, he made Phil Sims.
Nice.
He always emphasized throw low. Throw low, because if you make a mistake low, like you just said, it's an incompletion. It's not a pick.
The high ball over the middle, Zach, you've seen 100 of them. That ball is going to be picked off. You know it, and I know it.
You got a safety waiting for the ball to fall right into their lap if you overthrow it.
No question about it.
The center fielder for that baseball.
That center fielder, they make a living out of it. And part sometimes it's from pressure. Sometimes it's a sacker in your face. But sometimes it's bad technique. It's bad footwork.
Speaking of pressure, Ira, what did you make of Bruce Arians when he was asked about, essentially he's asking about what are you going to do for quarterback pressure without JPP? Did you hear who he said or who he mentioned? That
I believe he talked about Shaq Barrett.
Yeah. He basically said, don't worry about pressure. We have Shaq Barrett.
You know what? I'm going to say it right now. I think that was a good pickup. I like the chances of Shaq Barrett being a good player for Todd Bowles. I think that's going to be one of the better pickups of the offseason. Steve, why are you laughing when
he's
I say
giggling?
That?
Well, because I'm just thinking of your predictions last year. So, I mean,
I'm not taking
Shaq Barrett to the bench.
Now, wait a minute. I had Peyton Barber gaining 1,000 yards. Now, if the line was blocking a little better, he gets his 1,000 yards.
He only never hit 600. What are you talking about?
800.
Oh, he did hit 800?
He had almost 900. He had like 870.
Thank you, Zach.
Something like that.
That's why we got now,
almost. Good job, Ira. Almost. Almost. Now, listen. Number two guy, because I'm glad he brought this up, number two guy he mentioned after Shaq Barrett was Noah Spence.
Yeah, he did.
That was his number two guy.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean, that's the typical Noah Spence shining in the spring, and we'll see. Now, I'm hopeful. I can be as hopeful as the next guy, and we're going to see what happens. I thought it was interesting. Well, you know, forget what I can. I'm losing my thought here, Sage.
Did you get any optimistic feel, Lee, at all about JPP coming back any earlier than we anticipate?
Here's what I heard from someone this summer. And basically, Arian said the same thing that I heard.
Is this another one of your unnamed sources?
Of course. I'm not going to out anybody.
I salute you for that.
The person I spoke with this summer, when I say this summer, I'm talking about, I think it was before the 4th of July, that they were expecting something, some kind of update, medical update on JPP, quote, late in July, end quote. Well, we're late in July. I know Jenna Lane yesterday had a report that no better than November. Now, Arians didn't say that today, but that's what she had. Like I said, I was told a couple of months ago, that they were expecting a medical update late July. Well, it's late July, so maybe Jenna had the most recent information. I don't know. But the information I got, I'm not telling you exactly what the guy said, but they're not overly optimistic, but, and here's the big but, the way he came back from blowing up his hand, they're sort of giving him the benefit of the doubt at this point. When I say at this point, I mean at the time that we were recording this podcast. And Arian sort of said that in his press conference today. He said, this guy has come back from, I can't think of the proper word off the top of my head.
Trauma, you know.
Well, trauma, right. But at any rate, he's come back from bigger obstacles before. And so they're kind of hoping that that repeats itself.
His resilience and determination cannot be questioned.
You know, when I heard that, Ira, I just shook my head. I mean, come on. To me, it was just nonsense.
This is a different matter.
I'll give you a perfect analogy. When Kendall Beckwith was drafted, he was coming off ACL surgery. He was back on the field in 8 months, 100%. They were blown away.
Well.
And he played very well. Awesome. This guy's a super fast healer, blah, blah, blah. Then he gets into a freak car accident with his ankle, and he's never heard from again. And so, I mean, they said the same thing about Beckwith.
But at least JPP's got I don't know if you call it a resume, but dude did blow his hand off.
Right. But
and he did come back from that when everybody said he was done. So, I mean, like, at least there's a piece of evidence that maybe. I know we're talking about.
Well, no, we had the same evidence with Beckwith, too. He came back from.
Well, what I'm saying is Beckwith, to the best of my knowledge, never had a piece of a limb blown off.
Now, right. I got a quick question
And with JPP, he did, number one. Yes, I understand
sure.
A fractured neck's a whole different animal than half a hand. But at least with JPP, you know, that's a little bit more significant than Beckwith having knee surgery.
Lee,
absolutely.
Quick question for Mr. D here. Lee, you are the vagabond of Vegas. You are the vagabond of Vegas. And you go to every casino and every sports book, Lee.
Yeah.
And I ask this half facetiously, but maybe half seriously. Zach, you know that in Vegas they got all these crazy odds. You know, besides, you know, what your record of the team's going to be. They call them side odds or whatever.
Prop bets, right?
Are. Yeah, mm-hmm. Prop bets. There you go. You didn't see anything crazy about when's JPP coming back and playing his first game for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Nobody wasn't looking for that. And I have a Bodega, I think. I have the app on my phone.
Yeah.
I could look it up, but no, I didn't see it.
They do crazy bets like that, right? They've been known to do that.
Almost as crazy as the women that hit on you at the Mirage.
You know, November. Suppose it says November 1st, even money. You know, something like that. You never know.
All right. Let's get back to your wisdom. But the JPP thing's important. That's really the news of the day, in my opinion, because aside from his importance to the roster, Arians basically verified no surgery. No surgery for JPP, and that he's also seems to be on his current track, the original track, which if you listen to Arians on ESPN first week in June, we're the only one who wrote about it, not Joe Bucks fan, because it wasn't saved anywhere for anyone else to watch. He pushed it up to as far as December 1st in that early June interview, and now he says he's on track, same track. So I think it's just a dream to get this guy back. I think it's all about next year. Do you think, though, Ira, there's any chance that they cut him before the end of training camp? Or, excuse me, before the final 53?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Depending on what reports they get from the Buck doctors. Look, this is a big, big issue. It's big on the field. It's big in the boardroom in terms of salary cap. They got big decisions to make. He's not getting any younger. He's not 27. He's on the downside of his career, but still has juice left. In the words of Steve Isbitt's, juice. I don't think it's beyond the realm that they part ways with JPP. Steve, one thing you didn't mention from Arians on Thursday. He shed absolutely no light on Justin Evans, and I'll take it one step further. From what I'm hearing, I think if Justin Evans gets healthy, I'm not sure he gets a starting job back. He doesn't know anything about Justin Evans. He's never seen Justin Evans on the field. He's got a little tape of him, not great tape from 2018 before the guy got even hurt. I thought he took a step back. Lee, I think they're ready to move on. You know, I'm not saying the guy's going to get cut, but I'm not sure he's a starter at this point.
I absolutely agree with you. I got the same impression. He, in fact, one of the things you were saying in your I don't know, sermon, whatnot, sermon. That sermon wasn't the word for it. Your prologue. Prologue's not the word for it. Your preamble. There we go, preamble. Your preamble. You know, my brain's slow. He said, I haven't seen him on the field. Aaron said, I haven't seen him on the field. So I get the impression, just like you, that he's got to win the starting job. It's not handed to him. He's got to win it.
I don't think he's a big fan of Justin Evans at this point. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Well, I think he's not a fan of him being hurt. First with the toe, now it's the heel. He can't get on the field. I think that's what he's not a fan of. But, yeah, when he said, because I haven't seen him on the field, the tone of voice and the way he said it, I didn't get the impression you're banking on him.
And, Steve, considering the accent of this draft class at the top with the premium picks, Evans better get his ass back on that field.
Look, he hasn't played. Arian's got no ties to him. Todd Bowles certainly isn't sitting around raving about Justin Evans on all this, you know, stuff that they say Bowles does and planning for players. So it's a big question mark. He won't be cut because he doesn't make enough money. And so they'll sit on him and see what happens. And
that's true. He's on a rookie deal still.
They drafted Edwards. Whitehead can play.
And you got Stewart. Different guys in the mix.
They got Stewart and some other guys.
Here's one for you, Ira. Pat Kirwan was talking about the Bucs secondary the other day. Pat Kirwan of SiriusXM, NFL Radio, Moving the Chains. Fantastic. You're an X's nose. You want to listen to Kirwan and Jim Miller.
And he'll be in Buck camp in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was the 7th of August?
I believe August 7th. Yep.
And the 30th, I think, Peter King, coffee slugging, beer chugging, Peter King will be here. And you and him will talk about the Hall of Fame. Anyway, Kirwan was talking about the secondary. And he said, if you're a coach, and he's looking at the Bucs secondary, he goes, there's no one here that started the whole season. He said, you know, there was a rookie last year, Carlton Davis, who played 13 games. He goes, if you're a coach, how can you plan on anything? None of these guys have played a full game. And he said, then he got to talking about the Bucs rookies. He thought one of the reasons why Bowles and Arians and Light drafted all these rookie guys in the secondary, basically Kirwan said, you can't count on these other guys. He goes, and he said, as a coach, if you can only count on a guy, one guy in a backfield playing 13 games, he goes, at some point you just throw your arms up in the air and say, hell with it, let's play the rookies.
Yeah, I understand. And you know, Steve, when you look at this Buck defense, and justifiably, I'm going to say it before DeKemper says, justifiably, this is going to be an unbelievable overhaul, because when you look at the back eight, if they're playing a three-man line, you know, you got Nasib and Vea over there, but you look at the back eight, other than Levante David and Carlton Davis, who only got 1 year in.
Not even a full year.
And Hargraves hurt last year. It's all new. Lee, yeah. the whole back eight is basically new with Buchanan over there, Devin White over there, all these rookie DBs. Somebody's going to play.
Mike Edwards, Kentrell Bryce.
Yeah, I mean, And Lee, I'll say it before you did, justifiably, an overhaul. I mean, a big overhaul.
Yeah, I'm convinced, and I've said this before, I think, on the podcast. I know I've written this, and I think Steve has hinted about this as well. I'm convinced over the winter when Bowles looked at the tape, he went to Arians like, there's no way in hell I can compete with these guys.
Yeah.
We need guys in the secondary. Now, Kirwan also said something that's very interesting about guys who haven't played a whole season yet.
That's after Bowles went to the emergency room, came back.
And
got some sedatives.
Talk about guys that needed physicals. So anyway, Kirwan, he rattled off all the young cornerbacks in the NFC South that have played full seasons. And then you have the Bucs, and they haven't. And he didn't say this, but I'll go ahead and say it. Coincidence that the Bucs sucked last year in the secondary?
They're hoping they found a market, a Lattimore. That's what they're desperately hoping for. A guy that you can, hitch your wagon to a little bit that's going to be good for 10 years.
I'd settle for an E.J. Biggers. How about that?
No kidding.
All right, let me tee up Zach here. Zach's a big Bucs fan for his whole life and always gives a little bit different perspective. And then Sage, you can give your feel. Just the overall vibe that you got, Zach, sitting there for the first time in front of Jameis Winston, listening intently at a news conference. It's different than on video, I'm sure you would say. What was your take and your feel from him?
Really the same from what everyone got. He just looks absolutely jacked to be here. He looks incredibly stoked. He's ready to go. Like you said, Sage, he looks like he's ready to play the 49ers today. Or was that you, Lee, who said that?
Yeah.
It was you, Lee? All right. But he looks ready to get on the field tomorrow. and he wants the fans to be out there cheering, and he's really excited.
Yeah, you ever see anybody that loves to compete like him, Zach? He just loves to compete. That's what it's all
about.
Not
in July.
No, there are a lot of guys who have been enthusiastic over the years, but that, I mean, I thought it was interesting when Jameis said, this is sort of my time off, or this is my escape. This is my vacation, being here with the guys finally, and that's a mindset that you won't hear from most people. He sort of, I don't have the exact quote, but he said something like, this is the time off, like not the vacation. This is being here is fun. This is the fun.
You hope, you know, going into year five that you never knew when the light was going to go on for Winston, but Buck fans, by and large, I think are thinking that maybe this is the time. The family situation certainly contributes to that. Responsibilities as a father and a husband. A very mature Jameis Winston, Zach, would go a long way towards elevating this franchise.
And he doesn't have the same distractions that were there last year as well. He's going into this year kind of with a clean slate.
I tried to get him to talk about a year
like
ago.
You didn't like that, Ira.
Steve, didn't I tee that up about last year? You knew you weren't going to play the first three games no matter what. Doesn't this year feel different? Instead, he said, are you finished, Calvin?
You're done?
He did not like that at all. I wanted to bring this up, Ira, but first it could tie us to you. Tampa 2 at the Identity Tampa Bay, a Joe Bucks fan production with them. You have been killing it with Derek Brooks all summer, and we don't have 100% confirmation, but 99.9% that will be back to run all the way through the Super Bowl. So you can always see those episodes at joebucksfan.com or at the Identity.
And I'm also, Steve, here to say that Mr. Derek Brooks is planning to come out on Saturday to see practice, which I don't believe the pads will be on until Sunday, I believe. But Brooks will be out, so fans can see a Buck legend.
I'm sure Mr. Brooks is happy you just tipped everybody off so they can find
nothing
him.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm teasing you, Ira. But at the identitytb.com is the website. But that brings me to Devin White today was asked about Derek Brooks. And, you know, classic Brooks. Classic. Devin White says, well, we haven't talked anything about football yet. All just about.
That is classic Brooks. Not technique, not, you know, who you're going to key on to know what play's coming up. All in good time for that. All in good time. It just goes, Lee, to how seriously Brooks took his responsibilities as a leader of this franchise. And that's what he wants Devin White to be. So, Lee, what do you start with? How do you compose yourself? How do you handle yourself? You lead by example. You don't yuck it up. You make plays. You do your responsibility. And you prepare. You know, off-field stuff. That's what White's talking about. That's classic Brooks right there, Lee. Yeah. Classic Brooks. Some players would get right into the playbook with Devin White. You got to do this. You got to do that. That's not how Brooks does it. It's a complete picture of being a professional. I love that about Brooks. I think it's a big part of his success.
Yeah, White shared a little nugget that Brooke was talking to him about going through the front door,
yeah,
and saying hello to people. And
who would think of something like
that? It's just interesting stuff. It's
famous.
I'm glad Lee brought that up because, you know, after the line of horse questioning to Devin White, I really wanted to jump in there to change the aura of the room to get White, you know, talking like he...
You want to get out of the stall.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of the cloud.
That may be your best one-liner of the whole podcast, the history of the podcast. Get out of the stall.
So, you know, so I asked White, hey, Jameis was just out here. What are your impressions of him? What have you learned from him? And White talked about, hey, Jameis has sort of shown me by his actions that he's sort of the standard. And then White talked about borrowing his truck to move some TVs. Like you can't have it delivered. You know,
yeah.
I mean, making millions of dollars.
Well, Lee, you just made the point for funny. Me because when I said that's Brooks and you said, well, who else goes through the front door and talks to the employees? You said Winston, and you're right. But Lee, may I follow it up by saying, how do you know Winston didn't get that from Derek Brooks? He's very tight, Devin White.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, 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 very possible.
True.
Very possible. That Brooks influence, it's not a bad thing around this franchise at all.
All right, Sage, I wanted to bring this up. Our friend from Channel 8, longtime pal, Dan Lucas, who we see on the preseason broadcasts.
No Annie Sable here, Ira.
We'll get to her.
Oh, she's our pal, too. But Dan was made a very rare appearance on sports radio this morning, and he was talking about Ronald Jones, and he talked about how he did an interview with him in the spring. And Jones said to Dan Lucas that he was a little bit unsure of whether he would maintain his speed with all this weight gain, which shocked him. Like, Ronald Jones is saying that? It just the whole thing seems weird with Jones. Do you have any new vibe on Mr. Jones?
Well, I think I wrote it last week as a throwaway one-liner. It's like, you know, Jones, who primarily relies on speed and quickness, just packed on an extra 10 or 15. I really don't understand it, Lee. I really don't understand it. You know, Peyton Barber's your hammer. You know, he's got to be 225.
Arians talks about today.
And that's Arians loves him. You know, whether we like him or not, Arians does love him. You know why? Because he's what he's got. He's got, you know.
Well,
remember Cutter said, everybody that's out there I love because he's a buck. You know, that was the Cutter line.
Our guys are our guys. That's what Cutter
said. Yeah, our guys are our guys. But, Lee, I really don't understand this Ronald Jones weight fluctuation thing. Somebody's got to explain it to me. if it takes away one whit.
I think he had a couple extra meals.
Lee, if it takes away one whit of his quickness, that's a problem. That's a problem.
I don't know what to make Ronald Jones, period. Much less his weight, much less his speed.
I don't know what to make of Ronald Jones' mental makeup last year.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of anything.
It's very hazy. Zach, what do you make of Ronald Jones' attitude?
Well, I go back to the Jameis Winston press conference, and the one thing he said, he was asked about Rojo, he says, he looks like he's finally at peace.
He did say that.
He said that, and he said he's in the facility, and now he's being himself. Maybe, he can finally be himself.
Maybe he watched the Mueller testimony. Maybe that settled down.
I thought maybe he went to a spa or something.
Steve, well, what's going on with Ronald Jones' mental makeup? Well, what's going on here? I mean, the guy was a second-round pick. He knew he was being counted on.
Like a quality spa, like the Safety Harbor spa or something something on Kennedy?
Safety Harbor.
Nothing to do with a happy ending.
Or Robert Kraft or anything like that. Okay.
Yes.
So,
and I'll say it again about Robert Kraft. Who the hell cares that he went to a spa?
I know.
I'm going to say it again. I still don't understand it. And by the way, when are they going to arrest the human traffickers? All I heard was human trafficking. Have I heard any arrests from human trafficking?
Yeah, where's ICE?
No, all the focus has been on Kraft completely.
I just don't get it.
It's creepy as could be, but
it's creepy. And I don't want to see a video.
See a video of Robert Kraft.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ira, look. Now, the last year, Dirk Cutter adorned us for the last few years with his famous line that he learned how to manage players and get them ready for the season based on the Jack Del Rio method. And
you want to explain that, please?
Yeah, basically the Jack Del Rio method was make sure nobody gets hurt at all costs in training camp. Just get them to the season healthy, and we'll go from there.
That's not exactly a bad theory, but the source is dubious.
It's not a bad theory, of course not, but Cutter way meant no live tackling in practice, and that was the Lovie Smith way as well. And now Bruce Arians was adamant, made it official today, live tackling, meaning tackling, real tackle football, taking a guy to the ground, they blow the whistle, they're going live, wherever, you know how that goes. That's coming back. What do you think, and what do you make of it all?
I think it's a fine balance. There's no question about it, because you want to be healthy coming out of training camp. Lee, that's got to be the top priority. You don't care if you went 1-3 in the preseason. Nobody's going to remember that in October. No. Nobody. And I understand that. But at the same time, I got the feeling that Cutter and Lovie Smith took it to the extreme, Lee, and to the detriment of the team, I think, to a certain extent, in terms of physicality. And I think Arians is, you know what you do? You be smart. Mm-hmm. You be smart, but you don't say, absolutely not, how are you going to learn how to tackle if you don't do it in practice, Lee? I think Arians' approach, I prefer Arians' approach.
There's a couple things going on here. First, I'm of the mind that you can actually – okay, my idea of tackling is fundamental, wrapping up. You can do that with a tackling dummy. I learned how to tackle, and I can only talk about my experience. Granted, I never played college, never played NFL. I learned how to tackle with a tackling dummy, how to wrap up, how to square up.
Boy, do I wish I had video of you, DeKemper. Boy, do I wish. Is there any video available of you on the football?
There might be. There might be.
That's priceless.
There might be. No, I was nutcase on the football field. But I had to be. Guys were twice my size.
And well, were you a nose tackle? Well, what the hell were you?
I was all over the place. I mean, seriously. Now, a couple times I played line. Mostly, I started out as a safety. Then they had a bunch of injuries to the offensive line. Like, can you play guard? I'm like, well, I haven't played offensive line since I was in eighth grade. I'll try it.
Lee, what strikes me as another facet of this whole topic is, you know, a guy can tear his Achilles, and it doesn't have to be a live tackle drill. I mean, sure, just the fact that you're being physical, I'm not sure how much that adds to the injury factor.
Yeah, who knows about that, unless they're a trainer or something. But there's a couple things here, and I told you about, I think you could learn the fundamentals of tackling using a tackling dummy. Now, maybe the physicality you can't learn, but the actual fundamentals, how to wrap up, how to square up, where to put your shoulder, where to put your head, you can do that with a tackling dummy. The physicality, I can understand you need physical contact. However, I can't really rag on Cutter a whole lot because he always won his first game of the season. That was a problem with this franchise until Cutter got here. Now, the rest of the season was a different animal for Cutter, but he always had his team prepared first week of the season.
Last year, they won their first two games. Yeah.
Yeah, they were 3-0. And
2-0.
No, 3-0 in Cutter's tenure of opening games. But it's just something to think about. What I was thinking, though, as you were talking, is, Sage, when you said be smart about what you do tackling in training camp, does that – I'm going to predict now. Now, later, we'll do all our season predictions. But I'm going to make a preliminary prediction that Ronald Jones is the guy most tackled in training camp because that would be being smart.
I'm not going to try to compete with you in the prediction department, Isbis, because you did pretty darn well in 2018.
Who did the best?
You guys were tied 2-2.
Yeah.
You guys were tied? And I brought up the rung. In other words, when Jameis said, are you finished? I was finished.
No, I'm kidding, but you know, Arians did say some guys won't be tackled, and I bet you one of those guys is Peyton Barber.
I like Arians using the word physical. Now, yeah. Look, you can talk about it, and doing it is two different things. But how many times in our 3 years of glorious podcasting together, which I've enjoyed immensely, do we talk about the lack of physicality with this franchise?
Oh my gosh, it's
a big, big problem. And they're not the only franchise, Lee. You know this for a fact. 3 or 4 years ago when Mike Smith was playing out his days in Atlanta as the head coach, Arthur Blank was absolutely furious at what he perceived as a lack of physicality by the Atlanta Falcons.
And it was
probably the biggest reason that Smith was canned. Not physical enough across the trenches.
And where did Smith wind up?
Smith ended up right here, baby, right here. And I don't think the Bucs have been tough enough in the not nearly tough enough in trenches. How do you measure it? You run the football. You run the football when you want to run the football.
I'm going to say something that's going to you're going to love. You are going to love this.
Are you quoting Polian? Are you quoting Pat Kerwin?
No, someone higher up the food chain in the NFL.
Go ahead.
I've been watching this All or Nothing. I finally finished up last night.
You love that show.
Well, I always liked it, and that's where we got a lot of Arian stuff when they did All or Nothing with the Cardinals a few years ago. I watched the last episode last night, All or Nothing. I binged.
How does it compare to Hard Knocks?
It's Hard Knocks only for a full season.
Yeah.
Same thing. NFL Films does it. Okay. Exact same thing, only it's a full season, not just training camp.
I only like the Arizona one. I don't like the Rams or the Cowboys one. I'm not a fan.
I don't think I saw the Cowboys. The Rams was dull as hell. The Cardinals is fantastic because Arians.
Yeah.
Arians and Klein and Bidwell. Not Klein, but Kine.
It's a team that made the NFC Championship compared to the Rams who were like 4-12 that year. So
Yeah. That had something to do.
What strikes you about the Carolina one?
Well, there's a lot of things, but specifically what I'm going to bring up, you were going there, and this is going to make you happy as hell. The last episode, last night, after the season was over with, and the Panthers are preparing for the draft for the 2019 season. The episode ends, I think, when Thomas Davis or what was the linebacker?
Thomas Davis.
Yeah, Thomas Davis, when he retired. That's was released. That's when the episode ends. Anyway, they're preparing for the draft, and was it Tedder the last name of the new owner, Carolina? Is it Tedder?
Tepper.
Tepper's sitting there with you.
Hedge fund manager.
Yep. Tepper's sitting there, who comes across as a fantastic guy. Comes across as a great guy.
Like, Marty Herney loves him.
What
else is Marty Herney going to say about his owner? Right?
Tepper and Marty Herney's right-hand man, whoever that was, were sitting in a meeting. And Tepper tells Herney, for long-term success, We have to have a good offensive line. We have to have a good defensive line. And most importantly, we have to have a pass rusher. Who did they draft in the first round? A pass rusher.
Brian Burns of the Florida State.
Who else did they draft this year?
A lot of people like that guy.
Who else did they draft this year? A bunch of linemen. What have the Bucs done of late? Pass rush? Hell no, they can't do that. Hell no.
And Atlanta's first two picks, I believe, were offensive linemen.
So let's think about that. An owner. Now, granted, he came from Pittsburgh. He has that Pittsburgh mentality.
A new owner,
but he was a minority owner with the Steelers for some time. Steelers, what did they do? Linemen. They're big on the trenches. Big on the trenches. Always have a pass rush. Tepper in this meeting. Again, he was talking to Herney. He's like, you know, for long-term success, we have to be strong in the trenches. We have to have a good offensive line. Have to have a good defensive line. We need a pass rusher.